Today we have a cozy crowd. I think a lot of people are traveling. Good to see you guys. I just came back from London. Had a fantastic time. Only God can engineer it. When I come back now, not so cold. Apparently London's going to be minus 10. And there'll be 4 inches of snow. And the best part is your daughter comes back on the 20th. I heard they're going to start striking at a certain time. It's like, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do something bad to you first, Royston. I'm going to strike from 21st to whatever. So that's the good thing. You know that the bad news is coming. They tell you when it's going to happen. Gun and I were in today having this market listing. So I just want to tell you a bit more. And it's quite interesting and want to get you involved as well. With other few other people, marketplace people, want to be able to just help some SME bosses and what have you. They're working out something. I'm pretty excited about it. Hopefully it comes to a point whereby we're able to engage more to the marketplace people. All these people operating at a certain level, if we can engage them with the pre-believers, it's almost like, I was telling them, it's almost like having a cell group with people who actually don't know they're in a cell group. It's almost like going to people and they're in church, but they don't know in church, kind of thing. So we'll tell Silas a bit more. Get your time ready. Tell him about the Thursdays and everything else. All right, let's pray and let's commit this time to God. And as we pray, just remember the Lord as we come and worship Him. Just remember His goodness for you, for your children studying overseas, for your children who are still studying, for our children who may need medical attention, and we need to do things to help them. But whatever we do, may the Lord give us a conviction that He's for us. So we take this time, those who are not feeling well, those who have financial or job concerns, some of us changing jobs, things that we need to get right, some people considering jobs. Lord, come. Holy Spirit, illuminate our minds and our hearts so that today, this afternoon, as our brother Gunn gives the word, may you speak to us so that, Lord, in whatever we do, even for people like Stanley, when you pick up a person for a private hire ride, what is a word that we can give to someone? When Yip works in the bank, what is that word you can give to the colleague, to that client, or to whoever you talk to that will be beneficial to the situation that will help someone? So, Holy Spirit, do something new in life today. And as Gun comes with crutches and all, may you use this servant of yours to bring the word of God. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We commit all we have to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. There always a first to everything. First time in... Do you need a chair? Yeah. Huh? You can stand. We're going to welcome Gun. Gun is going to speak to us, crutches and all. So can we welcome him with his iron boot or whatever boot you call it. Come.
Okay, anyway, I was originally scheduled to share 2 weeks ago on the topic of circumstances, but obviously due to unforeseen circumstances, no pun intended, I have to sort with Royston. In case you're wondering, this is not because of World Cup. But it's been a humble experience this past 2 weeks. Simple things like go toilet, bathing. Wow, it's been a challenge. Just now we were at Center Point, we were trying to get to the location. It was actually about five, 10 minutes walk. We took 30 to 40 minutes. So by the time I reached the destination, I was totally drained. But it was good. It's good. God is good. The spirit stuck at home, get to spend a lot of time with the kids, my little minions now. Anyway, coming back, so yes, it's God's plan that I had to swap with Royston. God had a great message for us that day. Awesome sharing from Royston on the topic of circumstances. Amazing testimony. Oh. Oh. Ah, okay. So today we continue on the IC series, or the series on identity in Christ. As we are approaching end of the year, I was tasked to cover the topic of Christmas. What can we learn from Christmas, and how does it shape our identity? So I'd like to cover this in three passages from the Bible. I'd like to start from the beginning, in the beginning, the famous three words, right? So I thought to answer these questions, we should go back to where it all first started, the beginning. So this was actually covered by, if you remember, Hong Yi, in the first part when he covered on the topic of identity. So this is from Genesis 3, 1 to 7. So verse 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, 'For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves." So this was the fall of men, right? But notice here in verse 3, it says, "God did say," right? So in other words, men knew it was wrong to eat fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, but men chose to eat anyway. So the fall of man was because of our disobedience, right? And notice here, Eve actually had a choice. Of course, we can blame the serpent for influencing her, but she actually had a choice, right? She can choose to obey or disobey, right? And in this case, she chose to disobey God, right? And so often we do the same, right? We choose to disobey God to satisfy our own desires, resulting in our fall. Do you remember the consequence of man's disobedience? Hong Yi shared this at the during his sharing, right? Four relationships were destroyed. So the first, which we know, which is the relationship between man and God, was destroyed. Genesis verse 3, verse 8, they hid from the Lord God. So man was separated from God. But there were three other relationships that were also destroyed, right? Man with himself. Genesis 3, 10, it says, "I was afraid because I was naked," right? The identity of man was destroyed. Man felt ashamed, right? And then third, you have man and man. Genesis 3, 12, "The woman you put here with me." So Adam was blaming Eve. So the relationship between man and man was also destroyed. And the last was man and earth. Genesis 3, 17. "Cursed is the ground because of you." So the ground was cursed, i.e. it was harder for man to work on. So because of man's disobedience, these four relationships were destroyed. But God's love for us, he loved us so much that the redemption process started almost immediately. If you go to Genesis 3:15, this is what God said to the serpent, right? "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heels." Genesis 3:15, right? So the offspring of the woman refers to Jesus. And here, right after the fall, was God's first promise of a redeemer. It says here that the serpent will strike his heel, right? So Satan will strike Jesus' heel. Although wounded, Jesus will not be defeated, right? So that's why instead, Jesus will crush Satan's head and will have the ultimate victory. So we go to another well-known verse which summarizes God's love for us. And this is none other than John 3:16-21, right? Wow, so small. Okay, so for God loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Verse 19, it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light because for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it might be seen plainly that they have done, what they have done has been done in sight of God. So this is the love of our God who will spare no effort to reconcile with us. A couple of interesting takeaways from this. The first, this is a gift, right? The greatest gift. Our redemption is a gift. Unconditional gift from God. We didn't work for it. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. Yet God, in his love and mercy, gave us eternal life as a gift to Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. So God sacrificed Christ, his one and only Son, so that we may be redeemed, so that we can restore the full relationship that was destroyed. And Jesus said this, that through this, God is giving us a new identity. Right? John 3:3-7, Jesus replied, and this was, he was talking to Nicodemus. Right? He replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. So in other words, through Christ, we are given a new identity, a new creation. And this is explained in 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Paul said, all this is from God, who reconciled with us through himself, to himself through Christ. So in Christ, we are a new creation, and we are given a new identity. The other interesting point was that this redemption process was initiated by God. We are the ones who have fallen short, right? But he didn't wait for us to come to him. In fact, he loved us so much, he comes to us first. This is the love of our God. And finally, again, it is a choice, right? Receiving this gift is a choice. That's why in John 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So it's a choice to receive this gift. When we were in Oxford earlier this year, I think Daniel briefly mentioned about this, when we were in Oxford earlier this year for the OCCA course, we were introduced to this painting called The Light of the World. This was drawn by William Holman Hunt, inspired by Revelation 3:20. So Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Like all good tourists, I like to read up on the history to understand the context, right? There's actually a lot of interesting and meaningful details to this painting, but in view of time, I will just highlight a few key points. The man in the painting is Jesus Christ. Then on the left, you have the closed jaw, which represents the human soul. It is blocked, the nails are rusty, it's knitted and bounded by overgrown ivy and dry grass. And the key highlight to this painting is that if you notice, there are no handles on the door. So to open the door from the outside is impossible. It symbolizes that the person has to choose their path in life. So to be with Christ is a personal choice. This freedom to choose is given to man by God. Christ can only knock gently. We have to choose to respond. So just like what Christ said in John 3, 19 to 21, right? We have to choose between light and darkness. Okay. Very quickly, just to wrap up on Revelation 3, 20. Revelation 3:20 is actually a very popular verse, right? Often used as an invitation to non-believers to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Just like how this painting by William Hunt was done. But the context to this verse is actually very different. In fact, this verse was not meant for non-believers. It's a harsh reminder to actually believers. This message was actually given by Jesus to the church of Laodicea. Yeah. This message was, in fact, for his own followers, to Christians. Christians who have turned lukewarm. So if you go to the preceding verses, Revelation 3:16 to 19, it says, "Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out from my mouth. You said, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and slate to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent." And then it comes to the famous verse, which is, "Here I am, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice, open the door, come in and eat with that person, and they with me." So this message was actually for Christians. It's a reminder for all of us as well, right? Have we turned lukewarm? Have we pushed Christ outside the door? He's knocking on our door. We need to open the door for him to come back in. So that's the real meaning of Revelation 3:20. Anyway, coming back. So first we have in the beginning, man fell, right? Because of our disobedience. Then because of God's love for us, the reconciliation process started immediately. Right? And the highlight to this is, of course, Christ, the Son of God, who came as a man, took the nature of a servant, who allowed himself to be sacrificed for us. Second Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Christmas represents the birth of Christ. Some fun facts. Nobody knows exactly when Jesus' real birthday is. No date was actually mentioned in the Bible. And there are many theories to exactly when is the real date. There are even more theories as to why we are celebrating Christmas on 25th December. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. The birth of Christ is recorded in the book of Matthew and Luke. I won't go through the full account. I'm sure you're quite familiar, I hope. Instead, I will just focus on the beginning, right? So, okay, you can read yourself. So Luke 1, 26 to 38, this is the birth of Jesus foretold, right? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendant forever. His kingdom will never die." How will this be? Mary asked the Spirit, "since I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born. Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am your servant. I am Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. I'm not sure about you. I thought this was an extraordinary act of obedience by Mary. It's, as a matter of fact, it's a complete submission to God, right? To put this into perspective, Mary was a young woman who was engaged at that time, and she was a virgin, right? In other words, she had a bright future ahead of her. Yet the angel told her that she will expect a baby. Can you imagine the consequences? I mean, one, she could lose her marriage, right? I mean, can you imagine telling your fiancé, "Dude, Joseph, I'm pregnant and the kid is not yours." What do you think will happen, right? I mean, Joseph will probably, you know, divorce her, which is what he initially wanted to do privately. In other words, Mary could have lost her marriage, right? And secondly, she could lose her life as well, right? Pregnancy outside marriage is a sin. And back in those days, the punishment was stoning, death by stoning. Right? So she's risking her life to accept this task. She could potentially die as a result of this. And thirdly, she risks being discriminated, right? In those days, to be pregnant before you are married, you'll be discriminated by the community. So what caught my attention was Mary didn't resist, or at least it's not recorded. She submitted completely to God. I mean, what would you do if you're in the same situation? I mean, I don't know about you, but in my human mind, my first response was to try to negotiate, right? Just like in office. So Mary was obedient, right? But for me, first thing I would try to do if I'm Mary is, first thing we do is, I mean, I could lose everything, right? I could lose my marriage, my husband, my reputation, my future. So, you know, human response, first thing is to try to tai chi, right? I mean, like, oh, God, this one tua zhong, I cannot take it. Right? Beyond my pay grade. I don't think I'm qualified. I'm not ready. But I have a better candidate for you. Daniel. Maybe we should ask Daniel. Right. That's what usually we would do. How, right? But you know something? God often uses the fool of the world to shame the wise. Right? God chooses the weak to shame the strong so that his glory may be seen. But if Tai Chi doesn't work, what do? You cham siong, right? You try to negotiate. Right? So the first thing that came to my mind was, if I can't push it away, why not at least bargain with the angel, right? At least let me get married first, right? At least that will help mitigate some of the consequences, right? Maybe not the full marriage, at least ROM first, right? That at least you don't have all the negative effects. I mean, she could still conceive as a virgin, right? But at least finish the marriage first. But Mary, interestingly, did not do any of those. Right? She did not tai chi, she did not cham siong, didn't try to negotiate, she didn't reject, didn't bargain, nor did she complain. And if you look at her response in verse 38, Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I thought, wow, that's quite amazing. It's a complete submission to God, an extraordinary act of obedience. Okay, but one other interesting point. I like to think Mary had a choice. She can actually say no to this task, right? Notice the sequence of events. The angel Gabriel was informing Mary, right, about something to come, right? Something that's going to happen in the future. It hasn't happened. And it was only after Mary accepted it that sometime later she conceived. So it's as if the sequence is as so, right? Angel came with a message. Mary agreed, gave consent to the plan, and then she conceived. The MC squared, right? I mean, if you think about it, Gabriel could have just appeared and informed Mary, right? Hey, Mary, you're pregnant, FYI. But he didn't, right? The angel appeared to inform, and it seems that the angel was actually getting her consent. So therefore, Mary had a choice. She could actually say no, but she obeyed. So we go back to the beginning and compare this against the choice made by Eve. Right? Interesting contrast. So back from the beginning, God's command to Eve was, do not eat from the fruit from in the middle of from the tree in the middle, right? Seemingly simple task, right? Just don't eat. I mean, there are a lot of other trees to eat from. Just don't eat from this tree. Yet Eve disobeyed, which led to the fall. Then you compare against Mary, right? A virgin to conceive. This is a humanly impossible task, right? And even if it's possible, it comes with a lot of detrimental consequence. In other words, it's not an easy task. Yet, Mary obeyed, complete submission from her. And the outcome is, of course, the birth of Christ for our redemption. I thought this is interesting, to have the contrast between the two events. Okay, I end with testimony. It's interesting that Hong Yi at the start of the series focused on career or vocation. If you all remember the order that he presented, first is communities. Communities that we are in defines our identity, and it is our identity that defines our vocation or job. Right? And based on our vocation, we then look for the right skills. Of course, as he explained, in the human world, we often take the reverse direction. Right? But anyway, today's testimony is also about career or my career. Some of you would have heard some part of it because I've been complaining it for the last 11 years, ever since I joined the company. Anyway, in August 2011, I was blessed with two job offers. The first one, called the dream job. Dream job. So why is it a dream job? This is with a renowned MNC in the private sector. They are in the business of high-tech stuff. I love technology, so it's perfect. And they are number one in the industry, basically a market leader. And they are famous for their welfare. They take care of their stuff. As a matter of fact, that year when I was trying to get in, they were voted top 10 companies to work for in Singapore for the 3 consecutive years. Staff retention, minimum is 10 years. That means staff usually work for at least 10 years. Good, right? And one other reason why I wanted, or this is the dream job, was because I actually applied for this job 5 years before. 5 years before, I didn't get in. So there was always this regret that, Anyway, this time around was different. Apparently, there was a management change. The person who interviewed me happened to be from the same university as me. Wow, so we hit it off very well. And the best part is we realized we were very similar. Our management style were very similar. We were both evidence-based. That means we make decisions based on evidence, or specifically data-driven decisions, right? So, wow, perfect, right? Dream job. But at the same time, God blessed me with another opportunity. I mean, no harm, right? Just go. So I went. I call this the mortuary, right? Just to clarify, metaphor. It's live. Later my boss might see this. And I apologize if any one of you are really working in a mortuary. So this company, it's like, is in the public sector. They're also number one in their industry, one of the market leaders, at least in Asia. But when I went for the interview, the vibes were just all wrong, right? First, the HR person that received me was very stern. She had no smile on her face. She looked at me as if I owe her money. daggers flying out of her eyes. And then as we were walking through the office, it was a huge office with 100 over staff. But the place was dead silence, right? Nobody talked. You could literally hear your heartbeat. And even though there were so many people in the office, the aircon was freezing cold. That's why this is the mortuary, right? Question: if you were in my shoe, which one would you choose? Just no need to think. Dream job, right? But I was reminded, right? God says Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Which is okay. Humanly, we have already made the decision, right? Asking God's permission is just a rubber stamp, right? So I prayed to God. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for giving me two job offers. One is my dream job, right? God, you choose. You choose. Tell me which to go. Give me a sign. That isn't dream job. God, in his humor, pointed to this. My first reaction, obviously, I couldn't believe it, couldn't accept it. So I told God, I think I prayed wrongly. Maybe my prayer was not clear enough. So I said, reset, right? Doesn't count. Let's do it again. This time around, I was very specific in my prayer, and I made a laundry list of things that I want in my new career. And I reminded God, dream job. Right? This one, if I join, I will be the dead body, you know? Not too many. Anyway, so I asked for a second sign. And again, God points to unbelievable. Right? I was stunned like vegetable. Then how? So human being human, I decided to take things into my own hand. So I asked God, I told God, give me one final sign, right? So that I know it's really from you. And this time around, I designed the sign, and I cheated, right? God forgive me, but I cheated. So I said, God, whoever sends me the official contract first, right? Whoever sends me the contract, that will be your choice, and I will obey. So I cheated. Why did I cheat? Because I finished all the procedure with the MNC first. And so in other words, they had a head start. Right? And this is a private sector. I mean, nothing against public sector, but I thought private should be faster, right? At least with all this administrative stuff. So I cheated. I don't need to tell you the outcome. You know where I am today. So, yeah, unbelievable, right? In my 11 years with this organization, I mean, I do recruitment with them as well, right? In the 11 years with them, I've never seen them process recruitment so fast before. Never. Not even close. That's why I always joke, right? I must be very cheap. Right? When the HR saw my application, wow, this gun, cheap, great Singapore sale, better grab first, right? Before he run away. The offer came at lightning speed. What would you do if you are in my situation? What is your response? if God sent you to a place that is not of your choice, or worse, to a place that you don't want to be in, a place of hardship, suffering, and prosecution, how would you respond? Would you fulfill your identity in Christ, just like Mary, be obedient and submit to God? Or will you pursue earthly desires? As I was preparing for this sharing, it's also a reminder for me. But just like to highlight another point on this, wherever you are placed, or even in situations or circumstances that you don't want to be in, do well in it, right? Make sure you use the skills that God has blessed you with. Do your very best. That is the true identity of Christ. Remember the laundry list that I asked from God for this job, right? God is amazing. Everything that I asked for came true. And one of the biggest blessings that I received from this job was to fulfill my childhood dream. My childhood dream was actually to put Singapore on the world's map. Not that I'm patriotic, just that I like to win. So even winning for the country. So today, my division is a national icon. You talk to anybody in the tech startup space in Singapore, our name will appear. As a matter of fact, we are internationally renowned. Companies from around the world or even countries are trying to learn from us. And I heard even Harvard Business School has did a case study on us. And if you remember, right, in my human mind, I thought the job was, the dream job was, But through this career that God has placed me, I've actually fulfilled my childhood dream, right? Isn't God amazing? Now, that's it. This 11 years hasn't been easy. There are plenty of hardship, suffering, and even prosecution. I think my cell group will know. I complain to them every week. That's why every day I ask God, can I go now? And God is amazing. Whenever you are demoralized, He sends encouragement to you. He sends protection. As I was sharing with the cell group earlier this week, the biggest blessing for me is not any of the achievement that God blessed me in this career. The biggest blessing on this journey was to have that intimate relationship with God. Whenever I cry out to Him, whenever I rejoice, whenever I pray, whenever I give thanks, He responds immediately. It feels as if I was having a conversation with Him. It's just amazing. Okay. In summary, in case you don't remember what I'm talking about, the key message for today that I want to bring for Christmas is obedience or complete submission to God. Just like how Mary and Joseph obey the Lord, just as how Jesus obeyed the Lord to sacrifice for our sins. What would you do if you're asked to make a difficult decision, right? One that could seemingly affect your relationship, your reputation, or your career? What is your response if God sends you to a place not of your choice, or worse, a place that you don't want to be in a place of hardship, suffering, and prosecution? Remember, for the light to serve its function, it needs to place in darkness. What good does it do to have the light to be placed in broad daylight? It has no purpose. Today I started with the beginning, right? So I end with this interesting quote from C.S. Lewis. It says here that you cannot go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Will you bear your identity in Christ, be obedient, and submit to God? Or will you choose based on earthly desires? I leave that thought with you. Thank you.
Sure. One, two. He had to suffer to deliver the message. Croatia beat Brazil yesterday. Who doesn't watch World Cup? Or watch? My wife doesn't watch. Don't know why. Luka Modric, the ageless master midfield operator, at the age of 6, lost his grandfather who was killed by Serbian rebels. Luka Modric and his family were forced to flee the hometown as the war escalated. His house was burned down. He spent much of his childhood living in hotels in the coastal city of Zadar, learning to play football in a car park. He had to be mindful of landmines. He said, these were tough times. I remember them vividly, but it's not something you want to think about. But he says this, the war made me stronger. There's a figure skater called Tomislav Šišmešić, whatever, earned qualification in the 1992 Winter Olympics. She earned it, or he earned it, I can't tell the gender by reading the name, despite not being able to train for months. You know why he didn't train? Because the electric at the rink was switched off during the Serbs' bombing raids, turns the ice into puddles. Goran Ivanisevic, the 2001 Wimbledon champion, was a vocal and eloquent spokesman for his nation's desire for independence. As a 20-year-old, he told the Washington Post, "We, the nation, can fight forever." Croatia beat Japan the last time, in the last 16. After the win, the centre-back Dejan Lovren said, "Maybe it is written in the stars that Croatia need to go like this. We need to suffer. Without suffering, there's no reward." I watched the game last night, Brazil, Croatia, so today I'm a bit stoned. Jet lag London, come back no use because I'm still London time watching football. The Croatian players, actually, quite a lot of them are has-beens, meaning that they, for example, Dejan Lovren used to play for Liverpool, but no longer, meaning that at club level already, people start weeding you out. But something happens to them when they put on the Croatian jersey. It's like when they wear the red and white, the pride comes in and they really fight. Cindy's nodding, must be a football fan. Have you seen the Croatians play football? Yesterday, they played, Winnie, 120 minutes on the pitch. For 120 minutes until the 117th minute, Croatia did not have a single shot at the Brazilian goal, meaning the goalkeeper did nothing. But at the 117th minute after Brazil had scored, they had one shot. And it went in. One shot. There's something about you, a Croat or a Serb. Another person that comes to mind is the Wimbledon champion. What's his name? Novak Djokovic. That one is Serbian. That guy also had war before. So I can imagine why when you play the people at the Croats, so beware Argentina. Argentina play Croats, you better don't think that they will just win. There's something about the Croats. You know why? They have gone to war before. They have seen any one of the Croats you pick up, they will have a story to tell, Royston. They have a story to tell, say, maybe my cousin died of landmines, my grandmother died, something happened, but it has channeled them, just funneled them to be what they are. So when they put on the jersey, my goodness, they are a different animal. And when they come together as a community, they do great things. Population, 4 million. Can Singapore get into the World Cup? I won't tell you who behind us, Silas. I said that straight away, the head like a Japanese door, ding dong, ding dong. I have my own comments on that. 2034, release what? Unleash the Kallang Roar. I'm not saying anything for the record, whoever's watching this, whoever's your country. But the Croats have been delivering. What is it about the Croatians or the Serbs? They have suffered. And through suffering, they know what it takes. And the mind has changed. And they will do whatever it takes. I'm so blessed when I watch the Croatians. I cry when they win. A 37-year-old running around and doesn't tire. This Luka Modric. Crazy man. Such national pride. When they won, you see them just so happy. He goes on then, at the end, I was watching him. He went to hug Silas, the Brazilian midfielder, Casemiro. They used to be Real Madrid. After the game, he hugged him. He's so short, Casemiro, he hugged his heart like that. What a man. What a country. But Dejan Lovren says, perhaps it is written in the stars. We, the Croats, we need to suffer. Without suffering, there's no reward. Maybe Gunn had to go through whatever he go through, thinking that the mortuary job is the mortuary job. Actually, the mortuary job became your dream job in the last 11 years, because even Harvard is taking notice of the NUS enterprise. He's doing incubator, and it's almost like God is incubating something in you, isn't it? When we incubate, we are birthing something. And sometimes God takes 11 years. And God will incubate something in us if we are prepared to go through the whole hog. Are you suffering? I am. My wife and I now have to talk about the children. The children need medication. We have to go to India to find the medication. And the medication is not cheap. And when I say not cheap, I really mean not cheap. We have to do things that we've not done before. And some of us, we have to deal with whatever. Some of us, I know, cancer survivors. Some of us, lymphoma, whatever. But as we come to Christmas, I want to tell you something. You have a choice. Do you know that all the C's you go down, right? You talk about character, you talk about courage, you talk about whatever. Can I just summarize? And if you forget everything I say about IC, I tell you something. The most important thing to know is you have a C, it's a choice. You have a choice whether you want to connect with God. You have a choice to be courageous. You have a choice whether you want to take that job that God gave you, or you have a choice to say, God, I think I heard you wrongly. After three signs, still don't say, reject the NUS job and then go and beg that MNC to give you that job. You all have a choice. So I want to undergird all the IC, simisi lah, courage lah, character, whatever, one thing only. You have a choice. You have a choice to be connected. You have a choice to be courageous. You have a choice to not cheat. You have a choice to do something about something. You have a choice to say, God, I will suffer, but when I suffer, I know there's a reward. I have a problem when Christians tell me I don't believe in suffering. I have got a problem. I don't like suffering, but every Christian has to go through that. And during Christmas, what better time to tell you that? Because Jesus came and he suffered for us. We were in London. I just came back from London. How many of you know this group, ABBA? All know. Even those who like Croatia know. Very good. ABBA is this 19... Ivy, 你知道 ABBA 吗? 你知不知道? I better tell you. ABBA, my goodness. Tell Winnie, same age one. ABBA is this Swedish pop group. They sing the songs that I will sing with them. So we went to London and we watched ABBA. When we watched ABBA, we went to this stadium. This stadium is, I think it's just made for them, right? Whole stadium just made for them. Two of us go in there. When you go down there, all same age. All the lao kok kok one, because only the 25, 35 don't know what ABBA is. So we know we go down there. And then we pay for the nice, very nice lights and everything. So ABBA pops out and ABBA is there in front of you. Can I tell you something? They were not there. It was hologram. Because the ABBA singers are now 70-something years old. The only thing we saw was hologram. But it is fantastic technology. I couldn't take any video or whatever because they threatened if I catch anyone, whatever, straight away. Because they want to preserve the sacred. So it was like watching ABBA, thank you for the music. They are singing, but they are holograms. And the first time I was exposed to hologram was 1979 Star Wars. 1979, the first Star Wars movie, Luke Skywalker, you mean the hologram? This is for real. It is so real that I was crazy. I was watching it and then Karen made a remark. This is crazy. About 3,000 adults, all full-grown adults, paying quite good, decent money, watching four holograms. They are not there. We're just watching them. and paying dollar. And the people were all singing, you know. So when they start to sing Dancing Queen, you know what? It's not Dancing Queens. It's Dancing Kings also. And all of them about DG size. One fellow beside me, this Angmoh fellow, Dancing King. Nah. He was standing there, he was blocking me all the time. But what to do? So you think what? Dancing Queen, Dancing King. But all of them dancing to hologram. And still enjoying ourselves. Maybe one day it will be a Michael Jackson concert. At least one Airbus still alive, but 70-something already. So they were not there at all, but we all had a fantastic time. And Karen made this remark, my goodness, I can't imagine all of us just watching holograms. And that's a concert. But as we come, and when Silas and today the new worship leader, Shireen, together with Karen, leads us in worship. If we can pay quite decent money to listen to Albert and thoroughly enjoy ourselves, and we know that it is not real, they're not there, what more when we come to worship a God that's real? And in case you didn't know, Abba, when you say Abba Father, it's an Aramaic language. Abba Father, it was used by Jesus himself when he came. He says, not my will, but your will be done. Isn't that a choice? But did God say that in Gethsemane, Royston? God says firstly, hey God, my son is I will. If there was a Hokkien version to Gethsemane, that would be what it means. Cindy, my son is I will. That's Jesus asking Father, 不要玩了可以吗? Did he not say that? If you can, take the cup away from me. But after that, still he says, if not, your will be done. He was prepared to suffer. He made a choice. Whatever happens, God, your will be done. Whatever lah. Children got medication that needs, you need to do something about your life, you need to do this, whatever. We have a choice. We say, God, you are not going to sabo me. You are for me. God, I will follow you the rest of my life. Will we worship this God? Not a hologram, but he's real. And the best part is, ever you can see hologram, God you can't see. But we know he's real. And for people who worship God, and as we come to him, we must always recognize that God is so real, you can't believe it. I don't understand why people say God is not real. And that's our job to tell those people. Not a hologram in God. Later you see nothing. You see three human beings. But God is in the midst. Shall we pray? Even as our Silas, Karen, and Shireen just come. I don't know how you feel, but as we come to Christmas time, I know it's always good food, good wine, good company. They're very misty, very loving. Hopefully you got bonus. But as we come, also understand the true meaning of Christmas, isn't it? Just like the Virgin Mary carried out the impossible task. All the possible ridicule and the shame. Never saw it that way, but gun boiled up, isn't it? The angel told her not to say it's done, FYI, but it's almost like it's framed as a choice. And Mary took it upon herself. So as we cast our mind to Calvary, as we remember Jesus, remember that he himself made a choice and he died for us. Our Savior, our God.
Shall we stand? Savior, Lord.
today as we reflect upon the word that God has shared. Even right at the very beginnings, as men fall into sin, the whole, if you read through the entire book of the Old Testament, is a continuing fall of man. And God, in his love, in his mercy, continued to come back and redeem us. At the end of the day, he sent his ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, that he died on the cross for us, and that's where our redemption, where our hope is. And even in time as Christmas, as Gunn talked about it, truly this is a time to honor the King that is still living today. We serve a God that is a living God. And because that our God lives, there's joy in the world, there is peace, there's comfort, there's love. So as we honor this time, as it's a time of Christmas, let's remember the Lord in prayer and sing this wonderful song of joy to the Lord.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. The world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. The world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
End this service, let's come before the Lord. And let's not end with thinking that, you know, when you suffer, you don't, there's no reward. I mean, the Croats, see them celebrate. When we come before the Lord, as we come to the end of the year, 2 more weeks before Christmas, and then 2023 comes before you. Will you end this year giving glory to God? Will there be something in your life that is still not so right, but you take this opportunity to just say, God, I'm making a choice. I will get it right. Will you just come before the Lord? I want to end with this prayer as we come. With your hands, your palms lifted, nobody looking around, will you pray and ask the Lord to just come? Holy Spirit, thank you for 11th of December. Lord, we have about, 19, 20 days before the end. Lord, we commit the remaining 2022 to you, whatever the Lord tells you to make right in terms of some relationships, there's some people or some things that you need to do right at work, some things that are not correct, some accounting problem, some things, the relationship that needs to be get right, to be done right. Maybe some business leaders here have to talk to the subordinates so that you appraise them. Will this be an opportunity to spread God's love? May there be justice. May there also be mercy. So, Father, we thank you. As we come before you, Lord, we commit and entrust all we have to you once again. Lord, through your servants today, do something new so that the kingdom of God would advance. Lord, protect our young ones at work, our young ones at home, our physical, our spiritual, our natural children. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. Until we meet again, Lord, bless them and help them to preach the word of the Lord out in the marketplace. We pray all this through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. See you next week. Don't forget, guys, next week we're still here. After that, in the week of the Christmas, 23rd December, we're having a dinner here. It's a Friday, okay? So Christmas Eve, I know we all got family. No service on Christmas Eve, but please come here on a Friday. Good food will be here. Friday, 23rd December, I think we start at 6 p.m. And if you have friends you want to bring, because it's a good opportunity to bring friends and it's free food anyway, let us know so that when you come to catering, good time to bring people who will not come to church, but you tell them got food and we are not going to preach, they may come, right? So do whatever it takes. So if you have people that are coming, let your cell leaders know so that we need to bump up the numbers for dinner, we will do so. All right, so we'll see you on the 23rd. But see you next week on the 17th. God bless you. See you next week. Bye.